Hello. Would you fly in a completely automated plane? Because according to, I'm just trying to think who came out, Airbus says that it has the technology to fly planes with no pilots. Did they not see the story did they not see the story with Boeing and 737 Maxes?
We've got a lot of science fiction about this as well, where there's a movie, I forget the name, where they've got a fully automated jet fighter that gets struck by lightning that goes rogue. But yes, it's an interesting question because, you know, you hear so many stories of these hero pilots who save the day where I think a fully automated plane would not have been able to recover under those extreme circumstances.
Right. Look at the Hudson.
Cars are a different story because human error causes so many car accidents that if you can cut them out, that you would probably reduce the number of car accidents with sufficiently advanced AI. But airplanes, I don't know that we're there yet. I suspect the AI for airplanes would have to be even more advanced than for cars. I would speak under correction, and I suspect I will receive many emails after making this statement from people saying, actually, this is why you're wrong.
But you know, Vian, I don't know how much you know about planes.
Cars are easier than planes.
I don't know how much you know about planes, but there's certain circumstances where your monitors and your, you know, they've got like these little, gauges, right? Okay. Outside the plane.
Yeah, your instruments.
There we go. The instruments, the measuring instruments. And they can get iced up. And then your plane cannot fly on autopilot. You have to have somebody who can manually fly plane.
I'm still here.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Now we can. Okay, I'm going to let you get
That's okay. I'm in the middle of Oturin, and clearly the data network here is not that great.
I think you should write about it and put it on my broadband.
definitely. But yes, I mean, to your point, they might have the technology, to make fully automated planes and stuff. But as you say, there's just so much that can still go wrong. And you're completely reliant on the sensors to provide you with the inputs that you need for a computer to make decisions, where a good old fashioned Mach 1 eyeball, is exactly what you need to recover from potential disaster, when your fancy sensor in the wing has iced up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's talk about the Vodacom CEO. What's the story?
Right. So I think the bottom line is that Vodacom hasn't performed as well as it should have, which we knew from, the trading statements and stuff that they've put out. But Vodacom CEO has taken a pay cut, from about 50 million rand to 38 million rand in the last year. And that's mainly due to his short-term incentives being cut, and long-term incentives for that matter. So those are, in normal language, those are bonuses, effectively performance bonuses and shares, that he gets in the company as a reward for staying on long. But his base salary went up, from about 10.5 million to 11.1 million, but his overall remuneration still decreased because his short-term incentives didn't pay out as much as last year, and neither did his long-term incentives. And I suspect that can probably be traced to Vodacom's poorer financial performance in the last year due to, well, the increased regulatory pressure. It's not selling, or not making as much money off of data as it would have liked to, and so on. So it's performance linked. I suspect that his salary went down.
So you know what's so interesting is that in a capitalist economy where, and I say that because South Africa is very much a socialist type of economy. We protect people's jobs. It's very, very difficult to hire new talent, new workers because it's so hard to get rid of people who are not a good fit.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it is doing a lot of damage to the growth in small businesses. That said.
Yes. I hear that a lot from small business owners.
Yeah. That said, I mean, if you look at the international markets, a CEO that's not performing and not meeting those criteria, those bonuses, those goals, those strategic imperatives, gets fired. They don't right. not get their bonus. They get fired. And I'm not
right.
saying
so
that that's the case here.
In this particular case.
Yeah.
In this particular case, in Shamil's defense, though, that's always dangerous territory, because people then accuse me of all kinds of ugly things. But,
okay, I just want you to know, we are recording this and we're going to be podcasting it, Jan, and we'll be tweeting it at
yes.
Vodacom.
No, it's on the record. I am aware. in Shamil's defense here, it was what I think, the committees who decide on whether to keep or keep a CEO or get a new CEO, what they also look at is, would another CEO have been able to do a better job? And then, you know, decide whether to fire the underperforming CEO. And in this case, I think that any committee who would look at Vodacom's particular set of circumstances, the circumstances of South Africa in which, you know, it does the bulk of its business, and look at the performance of the company, and go, you know, is there another CEO who would have done a better job? Probably not. And so, that means that he won't make his bonus criteria. But it's also not justification to fire him, because you have to look at it in context.
Isn't that quite bizarre though? When I was at school, we had an art teacher. And how she used to mark, she used to take the pictures and she used to line them up on the floor. From the ones that she liked the most to the ones that she liked the least. And then she would go 95, 90, 85, 80, 75, 70. And that's how she used to mark her papers. And that's what it sounds like when you're comparing CEOs.
Well,
you know
it's
what I mean?
Got
well,
to do.
He couldn't have done it and he couldn't have done it. So you're just not going to get your bonus, but you'll keep your job. And I'm not saying that this is the case here with Vodacom. I mean,
what do you want to do? You want to string him up? When it was out of his control, there's nothing he could have done.
Simon, we live in a country where we're constantly rewarding failure.
Kathy, I'm thinking this guy, and I'm not standing up for Vodacom at all. But I mean, you're in a tough regulatory environment. You were making gazillions out of selling data, and then very happily, I might say.
In this case.
You know, the regulator came in and said, no, you can't do that. And you need to roll over and you need to do all these things.
I get it.
They were printing money.
No, I get it.
So, I'm.
And the out of bundle data.
I get it.
That
it's the principle, Sam. It's not about Vodacom.
Nah, principle.
Listen to him. All right. Yeah. And that's unfortunately where we're going to have to leave it. How are you getting from Oudtshoorn to back to Joburg? Are you driving? Taking
yeah,
a train, perhaps.
So we're busy testing the mobile networks all across South Africa.
Oh.
And so you will be reading a lot about that on my broadband over the next few weeks, and awesome. It'll give us a lot to talk about, I think, the next time we chat.
Awesome. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Very nice. Enjoy. And when you go through the Swartberg Mountains, just put on some lovely, beautiful music and just open up your windows and just experience those mountains. It's just phenomenal. They always make me cry.
Thank you. I will definitely do that. It is a beautiful area, the part of it that we've seen so far.
Yeah.